Hi everyone. This is Special K, Kevin Latchford of the Black Flag Cast, and I am sitting here with Alice of Lost Soldier Cosplay, who was recently a part of the recent documentary In the Name of Sailor Moon. Alice, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Let's begin with would you be willing to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Been cosplaying for something like 13 or 14 years at this point. So I started off when I was really, really young. When I'm not cosplaying, I live in Pennsylvania. I work as a teacher for children with reading and learning disabilities. And in my spare time, I dress up as fictional characters.
Sounds like the two would seem to go quite well hand in hand in many regards, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a, you know, I'm going to be generous and call it a use of character and imagination necessary both to work with kids and to cosplay or to be in fandom at all. And that's definitely me. I enjoy sitting on the floor with my students and playing imaginative games and, you know, reading crazy stories and making stuff up and pretending to be a T-Rex, which I think I did today. I pretended to be a T-Rex for a moderately long time.
Well, there's nothing like imagination, is there?
Nope, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, that moves us on to, especially you talk about your costuming. I know you have told me before that you do Marvel characters and such, but one of the ones that you would say is one of your most definitive ones is the classic anime Sailor Moon, especially with your group, which is the subject of the documentary In the Name of the Moon, Lost Soldier Cosplay. Would you be willing to tell everybody a little bit about that?
Yeah, I am the Sailor Jupiter costumer in Lost Soldier Cosplay, which is officially a 9-woman group, although since we've had some member substitutions, we've had 11 existence. We've existed since 2010 when we debuted the Super Sailor Moon Super S Senshi costumes at Katsucon. With only one exception, we all attended Bryn Mawr College, which is here in Pennsylvania. We're within about 3 to 4 years of each other in age, so we did all overlap at Bryn Mawr. I'm one of the oldest costumers in the group. I actually had graduated from college and moved to a different part of the Philadelphia suburbs before the costumes were initiated. So while everybody else was living on campus making these costumes, I was commuting to see them.
Oh dear. So were you pursuing general undergraduate studies or were you continuing education at that time?
No, I finished my undergraduate degree in 2009. And I got a job right out of college, the same job that I work at now, which is actually located in Bryn Mawr. So it wasn't super inconvenient to come in and work on costumes. I was already there.
Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, basically this was a kind of side benefit to your job that you could still be a part of this.
Yeah. Oh, I would have driven out to be a part of it. Even if I hadn't been working across the street, absolutely would have. But it worked out well for my time and my gas mileage that I didn't have to double task my commuting.
And with fuel prices today, that would certainly, I say, be a factor. In the Name of the Moon, how did you guys become involved with At Productions?
I think what happened, and I was sort of in the periphery of a lot of this interaction, because I don't work on our social media pages at all, but we had posted one of the really beautiful group shots of the whole group to DeviantArt or posted it to Facebook, and the Tokyo Pop social media team picked it up and posted it on their Facebook page. Tokyo Pop being the group, one of the groups who has, over the course of Sailor Moon's long history, held the license to the manga. They posted our picture. There was a really pretty big, overwhelming response to it. even though they didn't credit us, which is ratty behavior and shouldn't be tolerated. That's an opinionated sidebar. But Anthony and Tiffany saw the picture, and I guess something about us piqued their interest. They reached out to us and started the communication that would eventually lead to filming the documentary. I think the communication leading up to the documentary took a little bit less than a year. They reached out to us sometime in 2012, and we did all of the filming for the documentary in early 2013 leading up to CatsCon.
I see. So pretty much this, so they contacted you, so it was in the space of how long approximately? About basically you guys from the photo showing up on Tokyopop to their interest, probably would you say like about very rapidly, probably about 4 months?
More than 4 months. I think they initially reached out to us in the summertime. So it was a little bit longer. We didn't really start working with them until maybe about the 4 month window because they were wrapping up another documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So we all also had to clear our schedules to go to CatsCon that winter. Because while several of us are still, you know, going to all of the conventions in our area, are still very enthusiastic repeat con goers and repeat cosplayers, there are members of La Soldier who weren't as close to Northern Virginia where CatsCon is held, weren't cosplaying as much, had to reorganize their schedules a lot more than the cosplay obsessed amongst us did.
I see. I mean, you know, speaking on that, I mean, we saw in the documentary about, you know, basically you guys, you know, in your stories of your original costumes, you know, I believe you said it was a sort of weekend from hell to the point where, you know, the rushed preparations for CatsCon 2013, I mean, must have been something. I mean, it was something to see definitely in the documentary. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that experience?
The preparations for CatsCon 2013 were nothing compared to the preparations for CatsCon 2010 when we first debuted the costumes. That was a weekend from hell. That was a week from hell, honestly. I was at my house, which was maybe half an hour away from Bryn Mawr at the time, frantically styling wigs and making boot covers. If you ask anyone who has ever styled a Sailor Moon wig by hand, they will tell you it is a time-consuming, frustrating, and miserable experience. It's worth it, but there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of up close and personal time with hot glue guns. I actually burned the surface of my thumb pretty severely while I was working on the costume, while I was making the little odango themselves. And I was making boot covers up until the morning, Saturday morning of CatsCon, when we debuted the costumes. I was at my parents' house, side of DC, on my mother's sewing machine, finishing Sailor Saturn's boots.
Oh,
and then I threw them all in the car and drove up to the convention. I can't say that kind of last-minute work is uncommon for cosplayers. For whatever reason, whether it's because we're procrastinators, because our eyes are bigger than our time budgets, and we say, yeah, I can definitely do that, I can get it done, and then the morning of the convention rolls up, and you're like, I still have 4 things to do. Well, time to hot glue everything. I don't think anything in the Lost Soldier costumes ended up hot glued together, which is probably a testament to our relative planning abilities. Definitely weren't costumes out the door where things were glued to me.
Oh my. Well, you know, but then again, in cosplaying, I mean, I would say that most people, it's, you know, very much, you know, a do-it-yourself ad hoc system, you know, basically whatever will be done. It's very much a lot of improvisation is a part of it.
Yeah, improvisation, using the materials on hand. Some of the best props that I have seen and had the privilege to you know, kind of question people about and hang out with have been made out of household items. The Sailor Pluto in our group did a Yujiel costume, one of the villains from the third season of Sailor Moon, and she made an incredible heart snatcher gun, and the base of it is two Pepsi bottles. But it looks phenomenal. You never know until you get up close and start actually looking at it and handling it, and you're like, that's a soda bottle.
Oh, I didn't see it, so I was appropriately fooled.
Yeah.
So I mean, and some of these productions are, you know, these reproductions are quite good, I would say.
Thank you.
And I mean, it's just that kind of attention to detail. Is something that I guess. I mean, do you believe that might be one of the reasons why Lust Soldier was featured on Tokyopop?
Yeah, I think that our interest in detail, our interest in consistency across the group actually is probably my number one reason why we've caught, you know, the eye of Tokyopop and we've caught other people's eyes over time, and why the costumes are always so successful. And that's something that I think is really important for cosplayers who are intending to do a group costume like Sailor Moon or, you know, like what's popular right now, like Attack on Titan, like Free costumes where everybody has a uniform. The value of making everything all together, or of compartmentalizing and saying one person is going to make all of the skirts, one person is going to make all of the boots. I think that is probably more valuable than accuracy, because you're never going to be completely accurate to a 2D design. It's never going to happen. They draw things that human bodies can't do. They draw things that fabric can't do. But if you commit to your vision of the costume and you make it consistent across everybody who's wearing it, you're going to look really good.
I would agree entirely. It's anime. I mean, anime is, you know, it's meant to be, you know, the art is in the eye of the beholder, and it's not necessarily true to life. So, I mean, to accomplish that is quite a feat. I mean, especially considering, I mean, some people, there are many detractors in cosplay who say, this isn't accurate. I mean, you said pretty much all that. You said as much in the Name of the Moon, but you know, would you like to reiterate it for my audience?
I mean, my position is that as cosplayers, the vast majority of us are doing this for fun, for our hobby, and for our own happiness. And people who sit around detracting from costumes for whatever reason, and there are as many reasons as the day is long that someone is going to find to pick on your costume or complain about your costume. I've gotten, you know, anonymous people on the internet telling me that my costumes are bad purely because I don't look facially like an actress. And I'm a skinny white girl. I get 1% of the anonymous criticism and hatred that cosplayers of color, cosplayers who don't fit an idealized Western body type,